opportunity, but that will be a little bit later on. So this, my sermon is called this morning, Nothing New But Something in Season. And I really believe I want to share something that God is laying on our heart for now. Something that God wants us all to listen to this morning. And I'm really excited, you know. I had a good meeting with a small group facilitators last week. And, you know, I feel our intercession is really growing and getting stronger. So as well, our evangelism. Thank you, Saunders and team, for the worship this morning. It was truly a blessing. But there's something I noticed in the past week, and it's a challenge for all of us, something I want to challenge all of us. And when I did my own reading, you know, I try my best to read Scripture, not to get a sermon out of it. But God highlighted something in my heart, and I want to read the Scripture or three to you this morning. And the first one is from Luke 5, verse 15. But so much the more the news spread abroad concerning him, and great crowds kept coming together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Then in Mark 1, verse 45, but he went out and began to talk so freely about it, and blaze abroad the news, spreading it everywhere, that Jesus could no longer openly go into a town, but was outside in the desert places. But the people kept on coming to him from all sides of and every quarter. And then in Mark 4 verse 24, this is all saying basically almost the same thing. It's a bit of a cross reference, but I really feel this is what God highlighted in the week to me. And in Mark 4 verse 24, so the report of him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and torments, those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people, and he healed them. And then last in Matthew 4, verse 25, and great crowds joined and accompanied him about, coming from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from the other cities on the side of the Jordan. Now, if you read a little bit about these texts and many other in the New Testament, you will see the people loved being around Jesus. Okay? The people really were attracted to him. Okay? Now, I'm attracted to my wife, but that's something different. Okay? Are you with me this morning? It's a joke. Okay? I'm attracted to my wife, but that's in the flesh. That's something totally different. People weren't attracted to Jesus because of his flesh, about how he looked, anything like that. They brought him sick, and they came to listen to his teachings. Okay? And there was a lot of movies made before, and Passion of the Christ revealed a lot of this. But the people really, now there were some Jews and Pharisees and Sadducees that really didn't like Jesus a lot. I think he made them angry a lot, and as you know Scripture, they plotted to kill him and many things like that. But the multitudes, they came from everywhere, okay? And they went and they wanted to listen to Jesus. They wanted to see the sick healed, okay? And they wanted to listen to Jesus' teaching. They know he was Joseph's son, the carpenter, and it didn't make sense in the natural to look at him and to think like, where all this wisdom is coming from? How does it work? Jesus went into the temple, and he started preaching there. And many times, you know, in a traditional setup, if someone were to do that, you know, that was not his job, that was not his place. But you know why people were so attracted to Jesus? It was because he was the anointed one. He was Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And if we read from Isaiah 61, verse 1, I want to read to you, and this is Jesus talking here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, you know, if I were to take Scripture and I were to stand here and say, I am Jesus, this is what I am going to do, you know, some people might throw rocks and stones at you. That is exactly what happened there. But, you know, this is who Jesus was. We are called to do greater things. We are called to do a lot of things. But, you know, if you, I've searched here and there, thought for other reasons. If you were to go and look on anything like models for church growth, and here you can buy a package, and there you can sign up to a newsletter or this or that. You will see Jesus Christ was the perfect model for church growth. Okay, He Himself was everything needed, because the people who attracted, they came from all in the whole Syria, it says, to come and listen to Jesus and to the wisdom He had. He was the Father, Son, and it must have been awesome. You know, we can sit here and listen, we can read scripture, and we've got Bible commentaries and many nice things. But I wish I could just listen to one or two of His sermons, just to hear what His voice sounded like. Did He speak fast or slow? Did He have a deep voice? I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. But I thought many times when I sit in my office or talk or walk or something, I thought, like, I wish I could just listen to the Sermon on the Mount of Olives or this or that, about the attributes or something, and just hear it firsthand from God or from Jesus Christ. You know, it must have been something amazing. But just that's just something on the side. But the people came to listen to His teachings, and about they wanted to have the sick healed. Now, Jesus said, you know, we will do greater things than Himself. And there's so much evidence for that. You know, it's a spiritual principle. When you raise a son, you know, there's a few fathers in the house. You want your sons or daughters to do better than yourself. I think I preached my first sermon at the course size at about 26. I came here at about 28 and a half. But it will be wonderful if Gustav and Alwyn can preach at the age of 20. Okay? It must be wonderful. Okay? Do you understand that? And that is why you want your sons to have more momentum. And Jesus wants us to have a lot of momentum in terms of what we are doing. You know, Jesus said, we will do greater things than He did. And I read a little bit, but people think a little bit differently about it if you look at the commentaries. But some say we will do more, okay? And others say we will do bigger things, okay? But the thing is, you know, Jesus preached in one language in that area, but today the gospel is being preached in a lot of different languages in all the continents. There's a lot of preachers and people. There's many churches, and that is greater things. Okay, and it makes me excited in my heart. Now, just two examples I want to give to you is from Acts. The one is from Acts 5 verse 15, where when Peter's shadow fell on the sick, they got healed. Who of you have seen something like that? I'm looking forward to see it, because these things will happen in the days that we live in. And I'm going to give you an example or two just now. And then in Paul, you know, in Acts 19 verse 12, you know, just his handkerchief that he touched, people got healed by touching that as well. That's wow, that's better than Hollywood. You agree with me? All the science fiction, all the movies, all the aliens coming, all that nonsense. Okay, this must make real good movies. Marius, I'm going to call you to the front now, and I'm doing it in a specific way. Marius and his team, Branch, Paul, Wari, Lachia, these guys, us and we and they, we go out on Saturday mornings. Without any plan, without any, you know, booklet or anything. And we really go where we feel the Lord is sending us to. And you know, when I sit in my office, I've told some people, you know, I actually spend a lot of time with believers. But it's when we go out, you know, when we go out and when we go and do the work Jesus called us to do, that we see many signs and wonders happening. And as I said, I haven't seen a shadow, Paul's shadow falling on someone and that person get healed. But that's not the point. I want to give opportunity, because week after week we get testimonies of what happened when Marius and his team goes to walk with the cross. So I'm just going to give him opportunity to testify now and to just tell you guys what has happened yesterday again. And I want to, you know, I think all our ministries must be in balance, in a sense that it doesn't help if we've got 40 people at the kiddies' church helping and just doing the worship team. That's going to be a bit tough, okay? But this ministry, evangelizing, going out, and it's scary, I know. I like my comfort zone, but I want to encourage you guys to just come with and, you know, just see what God is doing, because it will bless you. Maurice, if you can just share.
Morning, church. God is good all the time. Amen. Just want to give you some background of where it all started. In the beginning of the year, God said to me, I need to make a cross. Because the cross is like a silent evangelism. The people that drive past will see the cross and it will speak into their hearts. So for a while I put it off, but eventually I got the cross made, and Carl gave me the opportunity to go Saturdays. We built that little team that we go on Saturdays, we walk the streets. And the people would drive past and they would get touched by the power of God. And we've seen so many things happening, people that are getting healed on the spot. Just to give you an example, I think it was the second time we walked with a cross. There was this guy that came to us. He had his foot was literally blown up like a balloon. And he was walking with a golf stick. He was walking quite crippled. And he went to Warrior, and it was one of the other guys that walked with us, and he said to him, "But what about my foot?" He just walked up to us. We didn't go to him, he came to us. And he said, "What about my foot?" So we immediately we prayed for his foot, and while we prayed for his foot, his phone rang and he walked off. But now he walked off normal. He wasn't crippled. And we left it. 10 minutes later, he comes back. He says, "Hey, I'm healed. Hey, my foot's okay." I mean, that's awesome. That's just the stuff you see, that you hear about in Acts, where people go out in the streets and you spread the gospel and people get healed. I mean, we see this stuff. And yesterday, we walked. What we normally do is we pray before we go. And this specific morning, we were starting to walk. About 5 minutes walking, somebody came with a knife. And he was very upset with us. He was under heavy influences of alcohol. And he wanted to literally cut up our tire for the cross. Now, I just want to give God the glory because he protected us there. He didn't get violent towards us. But, you know, it spoke into his heart, whether we like it or not. That seed has been planted in his heart. You know, today he's going to think, "Oh, what did I do yesterday?" You know? And we walked through the streets and we came back. Just as we were about to end, there were two guys sitting, Blanche and I think it was Warrior. They went to go pray for them. They all gave their hearts to Jesus. That's awesome. And here comes this lady. And I want to testify. I actually asked her permission to testify about her this morning. Because she was under the influence of alcohol. And as she came there, in the beginning she didn't say anything. And Blanche went up to her and said, "You know what? The Lord is telling me that you need prayer." And then she said, "For what?" And then she said, "All I need is deliverance from alcohol." And I tell you, we took authority over that evil spirit, eh? And the power of God hit her. She almost fell onto a car there. I don't know whose car it was. But she was delivered. She was delivered, and I tell you, this morning she's sitting right here. She's with us this morning. So that's awesome. I want to give her a hand. She's sitting right next to Blanche. There she is. And I want to give the Lord praise. And I want to give the Lord glory. Because this is what it's about. It's not about somebody attacking you with a knife. It's about the power of God. You know, this is the safest place to be is when you're in the will of God. That's the safest place you can be. I want to encourage you. You know, we see this stuff when we walk. We see people get healed. We see people get delivered. And we see people get saved. Up to now, I think we've got about 14, 15 people that gave their hearts to Jesus in this walk. And that is awesome. You know, people's lives are being transformed just because of obedience. And all the glory goes to God. You know, God rebuked me one day and he said, "It's not about you, it's about me. And you have to give me the glory." And, it sounds strange, but we have to. Because it's not us. At the end of the day, it's that people's souls that will go to hell if we don't reach them. You know, they say about 250,000 people die every day. You know, the Bible says, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. That we need to pray for workers to go into the harvest field and reap. Because I tell you, people are so open. Yes, some people will be negative, but hey, you know, we love them. But that's not the point. For that person that gives his heart to Jesus, makes it all worth it. Because it changes his eternity. His whole eternity is changed. And I want to give God all the glory. Thank you.
So you know, Maurice's motto is the same as Reinhard Bunker's, and that's to plunder hell and to populate heaven. So if you want to afterwards speak to him and ask him when and how and what and where they go to, please speak to him. You know what he looks like. And even if you think you're not equipped well enough, maybe you think I'm still a young believer or anything, ask him what you can do, because you can still just go along and pray or intercede, and God will do the rest. Okay, so I just wanted to encourage you like that. And you know, this is what we heard now, this testimony. It's so great to hear how he's glorifying God for what happened, because it's not to say our church or our team or our this or that got people saved or anything, but those 14 or 15 people, that is precious. It's precious to God, you know. And I was sitting there last night, and I know Teal quite well, the guy that we prayed for. You know, I know him quite well, and you know, those of you who are parents, you'll know that when you go through a tough time, and it's tough, it's not nice, and if you are sick, it's not nice. But when your kids get sick, when your kids are got hurt or anything, you know, that's hard on the parent's heart. Okay, there's Aaron sitting in the, his little daughter is 6 or so weeks old, and I think we just want to stay home all the time and protect those little ones. But you know what? That's where you can really start to experience the Father's heart, because God loves every person so much. He's the Father. Every person walking out there who doesn't know the Lord, you know, He really cares for them. And He wants us to go and touch them, just to preach to them. Okay, sometimes it's not even necessary to preach, they will come to us. Okay, and it's that's exciting, that's really wonderful, that's really so. I want to hold a question before all of us, me included. You know, if the people enjoyed being around Jesus so much, and I'm not talking when I speak to us in terms of having a good time, of being friends, having a bride, that type of thing, playing golf together, how much does people like to be around us in terms of ministry, of praying for them, healing the sick, those type of things? I think there's still a lot of scope for us to grow. Do you agree with me? Okay? And that is where they call it to become more Christ-like. I don't say we're not good or we're bad or anything, but I want to know that people are around us because they see Jesus in us. Okay? Amen. So that's our homework, I believe. All of us, just go and pray and think a little bit about that. Because many times we think, what must we do in that? But if people can see the Lord in you, they will be attracted to you. God designed it that way. Okay, and something it's just not really part of the sermon, but I feel that I need to say, is God's plan A for reaching a lost world is the Church of Jesus Christ. There's no plan B. It sounds funny to say it, but that's the only way. The Church of Jesus Christ. God designed us, the church, okay, the universal church, to reach out to people that lives can be touched, that He can be glorified. Now, I want to go a little bit on, and I just want to read it to you, because a lot of things last night just started making sense, and I hope you guys it will be imprinted into your hearts as the way I got it last night. And I just want to read to you, it's a quote from Pastor Fred. It's in the latest newsletter. It's about the Shofar conference later in the year. And just that you can hear what I'm talking about and about where our heart is and what he was saying. Now, he's saying, the other conference, scheduled for 29 September to 2 October, will be entitled The Earth Filled with the Glory, of which I wish to present a brief scriptural rationale. In Habakkuk 2 verse 14, we read, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea." If someone were to ask me if I care to identify a text which aptly reflects Shofar's vision and mission, it would be this one, which to my mind is what our original strapline speaks of, namely, the whole gospel to the whole world. Okay? Now, you know, I've said it many times, our heart, our vision is to reach the nations and the generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Okay? And that's why I'm glad that Hercules and Jaco Kutsi and Jan Koren, the team, were here last week, Monday night. Some of you were there to meet them and just to see some of the other faces at our head office behind our vision, to hear if my heart is the same as their hearts, that, you know, you had the opportunity to talk to them, ask questions. Thank you, Prisca, for asking 10 questions. That was wonderful. But this is important. This is what we represent. This is our heart. This is what we want to do together with what Jesus said we must do, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Okay? Now, last night I was just thinking there, and I actually dig in my resources, and I got the thing on Bible history or the history of the church, you know, the last 2,000 years and all the things happened, and I was drawn to things like the Azusa Street Revival, where Pastor Seymour started preaching day and night, and people just came, and people started coming to salvation, and there was a lot of curious people. That was almost 100 years ago exactly, and there was a lot of people and newspapers coming and wanting to see, what is this believers speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and all the Holy Spirit things manifesting, people getting healed. And obviously there was a lot of objection. Some people say they are from the devil and this and that. Other, the good news is some entire congregations move over to the Pentecostal side where they started believing in these things. And then I just thought about the dark ages and why it was dark. It was dark because there was no light. There was no gospel. People couldn't read and write. The normal people, just some guys in the church could read the scripture and stuff. But I'm not going into church history. As I say, I hope these things make sense to you. And if we think back, I don't have stats for it or anything, but I wonder how many people were born again, spirit-filled, baptized believers, say 100 years ago in a place like Namibia. I don't think a lot. I don't think a lot the way I read history. So we live living in a season. We know we're living in the end times. We know God said in Joel, He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And that's why normal people like Blanche and Marius and this team, Paul, can go out, me and you, and see people healed, people delivered, people get saved. It's wonderful. It's not just a person standing in the pulpit that can do ministry. That is why church was 100 years ago. Okay? All of us are the church. All of us are anointed. I was speaking to Marius and we were just telling each other this morning again just how hungry you are. Okay? How hungry you are to see these things happen. Now I'm actually getting to my sermon. I'm now really actually getting to my sermon. And what I believe, the title of my sermon was Nothing New But Something in Season. And you'll see, I'm not saying something new today, but I trust I'm saying something in season for us. And I got this word twice in our intercession. The one was when the mission team was still here, and then the past Tuesday morning as well. And it's from Joshua 6, verse 10. And I want to read to you Joshua 6, verse 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. And then in verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The wall fall down flat. Okay? How many times have you seen that happen when people shout? Okay? I haven't. Okay? But the moral of the story is, I believe God is calling us to a place where we must sharpen our spiritual senses. We must be getting more in tune with the Holy Spirit. All of us, me included. Okay? I believe God is, we tasted something that I believe the Lord is really raising Pastor Sias in. And that's why He's like creating a lot of felt fires everywhere He goes to help us. He made us, sometime we'll do it here in Windhoek and we'll testify a little bit more on that. The SOS stands for the School of the Supernatural. He wasn't standing there, we were sitting and it was a lecture type of thing. Everyone took part in getting a word of knowledge, of healing, etc. And those of you who were there, you will know it wasn't just one or two people that got something right. God is willing. Do you agree with me? Who of you were there that day? A lot of you. We were about 30. It was really wonderful. And it just shook something inside me. I really enjoyed it together with praise and worship that entire Sunday. Just being in God's presence. And that's the place where God can move in our hearts, sort out things. And that's why we're going to have praise and worship from now on every second Sunday. And we'll see how it grows. And then it will become something for every Sunday. And I've got an expectation that things will happen there. Now the reason I think and God gave me this scripture is the normal thing were to just run into a city, attack it, throw things with a catapult and javelins and spears and stuff. But God gave the Israelites specific strategy of how to reach the city, Jericho. Okay? And they obeyed to that. They didn't shout. And when the trumpets blew, they shouted. And you know what happened? They took the city. They won the victory. But before that, those walls were standing there. And it must have been, they must have think this is where the giants live. It's going to be impossible. And that's why I say, I believe God is calling us to a place of sensing our spiritual senses. Okay? To be more in tune. Because I've noticed in my own life, the more things you are busy with that's ungodly, if I can put it that way, the more things are speaking to your head and heart, and then you can't discern whether it's God speaking or your own flesh. The more we live in line with God, the more we pursue holiness, the more we just obey the Holy Spirit, the more you will learn to discern God's voice in your life. When do you pray for something for healing, and when do you maybe just leave it for now? When do you give someone a word or not? I'm really excited about this, and I believe we should really listen to that, to what God is saying to us right now. Now, I'm not going to teach or preach this morning on how to do that, but it's just wonderful for those of you who prepared a sermon, the way I felt the Holy Spirit just moved last night, and He bring the dots together. I really believe it's from the Lord. God knows exactly what we need to do the ministry this team of ours, the evangelism team, did. And if I read from Acts 1, from verse 4 to 8, please listen, it will be up there as well in a moment. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority. And then Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of all the earth. And I shared it with you guys. My biggest fear was to speak in front of people, especially in English. I did an oral at school. I told the story 2.5 years ago about the garlic press, something from the kitchen. And I was so shaking, I couldn't get the thing back together, the parts. Okay? But there's just one reason why I can stand here. And that's because of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing I can give you or tell you apart from that. And this is why we can go out and things will happen. Because we're in the will of God. And I'm not giving a teaching something this morning, but I believe that God must speak to you. The Holy Spirit must speak to all of us. I must tell you this example. Auntie Doris, you know she's full of fire. Auntie Doris, just raise your hand quickly. We were having intercession Tuesday morning. We were all standing here, talking, sharing, praying, and most people had to go to work. And then close to 8 o'clock, I had to take Hercules and Yaku to the airport because they have to fly back to South Africa. And Auntie Doris told us she's going to go and preach under the bridge and she's going to evangelize to the security guards. And when we, and then she left, and when we drove here past, just opposite, is it Lewis? Yeah, what's the... Lewis, yeah. And there we were driving in the bus, the three of us, and what do we see? Auntie Doris standing there preaching at these men. Okay? So we drove out all the way to the airport, dropped the guys, checked that everything's okay. I came back to church, maybe an hour or more later. Who do I see standing there preaching? Auntie Doris. Okay? And I thought, those guys are not going to get away. Okay? That's something. But you know, I honor her for really being on fire. I don't think she does anything else except that. Okay? But that is something that's on God's heart. That's an example to us. It's not just me or Marius or Auntie Doris or any one of you that can minister. That's the wonderful thing of the New Testament and the new covenant we live under. God called all of us to become, to stand in relationship with God, Father, through Jesus Christ. We can all be filled with the Holy Spirit and lay hands on someone. I really try to get out of my comfort zone and in small group, Hannes and Udi aren't here this morning, but I will testify if there's a challenge or anything, stand up and pray right there for something. I even caught myself the other day with Bernardo's in the shop, and I thought, like, what am I doing now? I must pray for this headache, okay? Or get one of you to lay hands on me and rebuke it and let it go. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say this morning. It's really the Father's heart that we should reach the lost. God isn't going to come down in some special way with angels and they are going to reach the lost. It's me and you. It's our job. And we have to preach evangelism. This is the theme, as Pastor Fred has said, worship and evangelism. The whole earth filled with the knowledge of God, with the glory of God, etc. And now the other part that's the challenge to me, and I believe to a lot of us, is something I wrote down that the Holy Spirit reminded me about last night, about Swakopmund when we were doing the SOS. I wrote it on the back of a Voerman and Brock slip. You know, Pastor Sia said, he said, we must walk away from control. He wants to do things where we feel out of control, and that's the Holy Spirit. We must walk away from control, being in control. Now, I like to prepare. You can see here, I've got notes here. Okay? I like that. Okay? Now, it's not the right or wrong thing. But God wants us to walk away from control. The Holy Spirit, I just want to quote something else where he said, I'm not going to find it now, but it's fine. It's something we have to grow in, to walk away. I'm not a walking preacher. Have you seen that? I'm not walking here, but I'm seeing the other guys do it, so I'll do it as well. Okay, hopefully it will have you catch your attention. That's just something on the light side again. But it's about having a praise and worship evening, or about going outside evangelizing without having a point A, B, C. We will return at 11 o'clock, then we will do this, because then we don't leave a lot of room for the Holy Spirit to operate in. Are you with me this morning? Tell someone next to you we're going somewhere. And last night, when I thought about the praise and worship, you know, the Holy Spirit, and I went to look for that scripture, and it was so amazing. It just came so clear to me, and I know it's from God. And it's Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if I had to have a vision for what we're supposed to do at the praise and worship, I believe this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing, we're going to praise, we're going to glorify God, we're going to sing spiritual songs, and I believe it's really going to bless God. And that's exactly almost the same thing as what our leadership have at this stage on their hearts for our conference. We're not going to talk about which color a church must be inside in terms of the walls or the paintings or the this or that. We can have church outside the dam on a piece of ground and it will be blessed. Okay? Jesus didn't have auditoriums and all the things, and a lot happened. So this is what I believe God is saying to us. This is what I believe he's challenging us. And I want to ask you today a second question. You know, how prepared are you to let go? How prepared are you to walk away? For instance, if you walk somewhere and the Holy Spirit say to you, ask that person if I can pray for you. Will you do it? You know, or will you think like, oh, I have to be back in work in 20 minutes or this or that? You know, I know there's certain things. We can't neglect our families, or please don't walk away from your job now or anything like that. But there's a place of being tuned in, that radio station thing. And are you on the station that the Holy Spirit are on? Then you will see signs and wonders. Then I believe people will come to you and ask you, oh, just please lay hands on me for my headache, or for this, or for that. And then so we should just walk away from control, get a bit out of our comfort zone, and move away from religion. Just trying to please God by, say, going to church. Pastor Sias always uses an example, and he say, if you go and sleep in a garage, it's not going to make you a car. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It will help, but that's not what it's about. Okay, so that's really important. And then I'm slowly getting to understand it only now. The first sermon, and it's the second time I'm quoting it again after I use it then, on 9 January, I felt the Lord that week gave me a word for this year. And I think the puzzle is slowly but surely. I think I'm only getting to know now, slowly but surely. And that was from 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. And this is the season we are in, and this is what I believe God is calling us as a church. That's why the missional theme is going to be emphasis on the conference. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Okay? God wants us, the fragrance we have as Christians, okay, that we could spread it everywhere. That, like David phoned me this morning, we know each other's hearts, and he said, please pray. He understands prayer. But that we can operate the same and SMS a friend and say, pray for our baby. Pray for this sickness. Come and agree with me for this job interview. Okay? It's really important that we get these things right. And I believe, once again, this is what God is saying to us. We should reach everywhere. Amen. So I know God has been stretching me this year. I know He's been building character, but He's doing it for a good reason. And I trust that He will be doing it in you as well, that we can grow, that we can be more obedient to Him, that we can do and reach more people. Okay? That is really important, and it's only to glorify Him. It's not that my biceps get bigger or this or that. It's to glorify God, and that more people will start to stand in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask my friend Paul Botha now. I felt this on my heart this morning, that I'm going to give the mic to him, okay? And I'm going to give over to him, and he's going to do the altar call this morning. So I'm just going to step away. He's an evangelist, so the anointing is on him more than on me, okay? This is a principle here. So without putting too much pressure on him, I'm just honoring him, and I'm doing what I believe God has told me last night to do.
No pressure, I say. Yeah, amen. This morning, I want everybody, if we could just close our eyes quickly. And Marius, if you and Blanche can come forward so long. Specifically, I want you to start praying for people this morning. And I'll tell now. As you close your eyes, I just want to read a scripture to you, and something that has struck me very much in my life. It's in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. And just listen to it. Inasmuch as then as children have partaken of the flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power over death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now as all the eyes are closed, I just want to focus on that one part. It says that through fear of death, all their lifetime were subject to bondage. And I know my life, and I know God challenged me personally yesterday about this, is that how afraid am I still of death, and how afraid am I still of people? And that is the big question this morning. I want to ask people in your hearts, what is going on in your heart after Carl was speaking now? He was talking about proclaiming liberty to the captives. He was talking about opening the doors to those who are bound. And if we are talking about going out on the streets and walking into a situation, and not even going out on the streets, but just walking out into somebody into your workplace, walking out to somebody at your school and saying, you know what, I just feel God is saying He loves you. And I want to come and ask you this morning, if you look into your heart, would you be willing to, if you knew God is speaking to you now, to the person next to you? Now, all eyes, if I can just ask all people just to close their eyes, because it's not about the person next to you. It's not about focusing on anybody else except your relationship with Jesus. And this is the important part. I want to ask you this morning, how do you feel when you know without a doubt in your heart, God is telling you to go to somebody, and just even the simplest thing, telling them, you know, God loves you. Jesus died for you. And yes, God may say many other things, but I want to ask you this morning, does death register fear in your heart? What is registering in your heart? Are you willing to say, Lord, I will be obedient? And I know God challenged me yesterday, and I had to be honest. I said, Lord, I'm still fearful, Lord. I think I'll chicken out because I don't want to stand up, Lord. I'm too afraid to stand up for you. And I want to trust this morning as these two people are standing here. If you feel, Lord, I desire so much for your glory to be spread through this country, but I'm so afraid, Lord, because I know I don't want people to laugh at me. I don't want people to make a mocking of me. And I want you to come this morning, and you know what? The fact is, you'll never, in your own strength, be able to do that. But I'm wanting, and I'm trusting this morning, that there's anointing in our church to start standing up and saying and proclaiming boldly that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. So this morning, as everybody is praying and looking onto Jesus, I want you, if you in your heart say, Lord, I want to spread your fragrance throughout this country. Lord, I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of hearing your word and not standing up. I want you to stand up now. Thank you. right, what we're going to do, we're just going to proclaim together, and I'm just going to pray a prayer that you can pray after me. But then afterwards, auntie daughters, you can come and help and pray as well, because we know you've got the fire and boldness to stand up for Jesus. But then afterwards, after we've prayed this prayer together, I want you to come and let Blanche and Marius and auntie daughters lay hands on you and really trust together that that anointing will be put on you. But if we can just all pray together. Father God, we come and thank you this morning. I just want to stop there. I just want you really, if this is your prayer this morning, because this is about boldness in your life, I want you to proclaim this together with me. Father God, we come and thank you this morning that you have set us free, that you've already sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, but not only stay on the cross, but rise up in victory. We take hold this morning of that victory. Thank you, Father God, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Thank you for your boldness, Lord. Thank you that we can cancel fear. And thank you for your boldness. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Now I just want to encourage you people. It's not to be ashamed. This is your opportunity to receive a blessing from somebody that is walking in victory already in this area. So if you want to have victory in this area, I want to encourage you. Come, let these people lay hands on you and pray and speak that over you. Amen. 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 So I think if we can just continue, and if people want prayer, come forward and let them start praying for you. But then afterwards, we will just come and start. If the worship team can come up as well, we're going to sing one song together afterwards as well. But the people, if you want people to pray for you, you're willing to just to come forward now. Amen.